Will you open your Bibles? The pericope of Scripture this evening is Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thine heart unto instruction, and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of the flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself upright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. So far, the reading of God's Word, verses 20 and 21, but we'll be referring back to other verses in this chapter. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. May God bless the reading and the preaching of his word now again this evening. As we have looked at other sins, namely pride and envy, now the sin of gluttony. And in both those other sins, we refer to that passage in Hebrews chapter 12 where we are called to run the race that is set before us with endurance. And so we are called to lay aside all the sin that which so easily besets us. And so we need to examine for ourselves what besetting sin is hindering us from running the race that is set before us and for fighting the good fight of faith. For we cannot run with rottenness in our bones. So the third deadly sin is that of gluttony. The sin of gluttony, notice the sin, the warning, and our deliverance in Christ Jesus. In the last song we just sang, surely is that people blessed by whom Jehovah is confessed to be their God alone. Who is your God? What makes you, gives you joy and happiness in life? Is your God alcohol? You can't wait to take the next drink. Is your God drugs? Maybe to take the pain of life away for a short little while? Is your God the pleasures of the world? The more that you have, the happier you think you'll be. That's what we're talking about with the sin of gluttony. Who is your God? The meaning of that word gluttony is to be lavish, to swallow greedily, a squanderer, to eat or to drink with excess, stuffing yourselves, gorging yourselves, cramming yourselves. And yes, our text mentions drink, doesn't it? When in verse 17 and following, it talks about those who drink. Riotous eaters of flesh. There's a warning there about excess. And we need that warning. Noah had a vineyard. And Noah drank wine from the vineyard. Nothing wrong with that. As we saw from Psalm 104, it is God who gives rain and causes grass to grow for the cattle and causes there to be herbs for man and wine and oil to lighten his face. There's nothing wrong with that wine or with alcohol per se. What is wrong is when it is used to excess. And we need a warning of that. We need a warning of that because how many marriages or homes have been wrecked because of the sin of alcoholism? Excess. Or eating all that you can eat. That's one of the reasons I do not like those places where they tell you can eat all you like. You're paying your money, and as a good Hollander, you want to get as much as you can for it, and you come out of there and you say, I had really too much. Excess. But it is not only about food or about drink. That's what we usually think with being a glutton. But gluttony can be any excess in our lives. So that there are those who are always seeking new pleasures. They got to have the newest toys around and they keep on accumulating bigger and bigger things or nicer things. Or the cell phone, very important in our lives. It used to be a telephone would call and you return the call later on, but now everyone's got their cell phone in their pocket. You're supposed to answer it right away. And sometimes when visiting with others, sure enough, there they pull out the cell phone even while you're visiting to check what's going on. Excess. Superabundance, you want more and more and more. Going to the internet to see what the world all has to offer to you, either from their stores or the pleasures of sin. Gluttony. Eating or partaking or grabbing with excess, knowing no end. Beloved, this is a temptation that comes to us as we live in this world, and especially as we live in this rather materialistic, well-to-do country that we are in. There's almost anything possible for us at our fingertips. And hey, if you can't pay for it, that's okay. You can buy it with zero interest for a year before you start paying. Recently on the news, there was a newscaster that talked about the problems that they are running into because there are so many things, not only houses or cars, but now dresses and other little playthings. Oh, I don't have to pay for it. I can have it with no interest. But hey, it catches up with you, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, after a year or 2 years, and there is 18 to 23% interest rate charged you on your bill, and you've got all these things that you thought you could have without it costing you much at all. A temptation to want more and more and more of things of this world, whether it be food or drink or the pleasures of sin, and we can't get enough. What a besetting sin. It's a besetting sin because God's people are then abusing God's good gifts. So instead of eating in order to live, there are people who live in order to eat. I can't get enough. I want more. I want more. And there's two temptation. There's two parts in that temptation. First of all, the weakness of the one being tempted. They're not don't have the self-control to say, no, I don't need that. I don't need any more food. I'm fine. I have enough. I've had a drink or I've had two drinks. I don't want more. I don't want to stumble out of this place. There is the weakness of the person tempted. But second of all, there is the strength of the temptation. All those advertisements on television, the sparkling bourbon or whiskey in the glass or the bottle. Oh, this will make you happy if only you have enough. Then you can have a fun party. If only you have this car. If only you have this house in this neighborhood. The strength of the temptation. And over that temptation, let's notice from God's word, first of all, from Psalm 104, God is the one who gives these good gifts. They are good. And it is God who gives us health to enjoy those good gifts. You could have the most lavish table with dainties on it, but if you're sick, you can't eat any of them, right? If you're sick, just even the smell of them will almost cause you to vomit. Our God, good God, gives herb for the man to eat, wine for his stomach, and also oil for his face. God gives good gifts, and he gives us appetites or health in order to enjoy those things. But now, what do we do with those good things? Are we willing to use them in the service of our God for living joyfully in his presence? Or do we live for those things instead of for God Himself? Gluttony. It is a characteristic of the wicked. We read, don't we, of the rich fool. What do we read about him? He wanted bigger and better barns for all of his goods. Why? So that then he could live the rest of his life and not worry about being taken care of. He would get all the world's riches that he could get his hands on for himself. And what did Jesus say about that rich man? He was a word that boys and girls shouldn't use to each other at all. He was a fool. Why? Because he didn't know that that very night the Lord would require his soul. And then what did those bigger and better barns all do for him? Absolutely nothing. As the preacher says in Proverbs 23, the riches take wings and they fly away. Or I want you to remember, boys and girls, a story in the life of David. David and his men were being sought by King Saul. And so they were in a faraway area up near Mount Carmel even at one time. And there was a foolish man called Nabal. David and his men had been protecting Nabal's shepherds and his sheep for him all that time. Let me read part of that passage. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of that man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was in the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men. And David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be to both to thee, and peace to thine house, and peace to all them that thou hast. And now I've heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and they went again and they came and they told them all these things. And David is very angry. He is ready to kill Nabal and all of his household, that is all the males of his household. But Abigail has one of the young men come to her and say, do you know what your husband's doing? Do you know how David has protected them all this time? And so later on in the chapter, we read about Nabal. He is having a great feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. And so Abigail didn't tell him that night what she did. That is, she gave a lot of food to David and his men. But when he was sober finally the next day, then she mentioned what she had done. And his heart became like a stone. And 10 days later, God took his life. Nabal was a foolish glutton. This is mine, and I'm going to keep it for myself. No, I'm not going to take it and give it to the Lord's anointed, the one who would be king of Israel. What a wicked man. Or think a moment of the days of Noah. For 120 years, Noah is building the ark. Yes, it was Noah. And he is also a preacher of righteousness, warning about the judgment that's going to come. But the world at that time was doing what? They were eating and drinking and being merry. They had no place for God in their heart, and they had no care about the judgment that was coming. Or we read again in Isaiah's day, in Isaiah chapter 22, how the people are wicked and sinful, and that's why God has Isaiah bringing the word to them that they should be mourning for their sins. But we read instead, verses 12 and 13 of Isaiah 22, and in that day did the Lord of God call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and girding with sackcloth, and behold, joy and gladness, slaying of oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. The wicked, gluttony, taking the good things of God's creation and using them to excess. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul uses that same text from Isaiah. If there be no life after death, if this is all there is, well, then let us eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But beloved, the sin of gluttony doesn't only belong to the wicked heathen, but the sin of gluttony is also a temptation to God's people. Think a moment of Noah. He grew a vine, a vineyard. He made wine, but he drank the wine to excess. And because his mind is filled with excess with that wine, he's not thinking clearly, and he sets himself in his tent naked to the eyes of his sons to behold. He's foolish. Drinking the wine was not wrong, but drinking to excess was wrong. Or think a moment of the God's people in Corinth, in the Christian church. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that when they come together for the feast, that is for the Lord's Supper, there were believers there profaning the sacred feast by their drunkenness and gluttony, while there's others there that had hardly anything to eat. So that instead of being a glad feast to the Lord, it was a sin in the church. That is not only a sin in the past, but this is a sin that the church today must take seriously. What is your God? What are you seeking to fill your life in order to have joy and gladness? What a temptation there is to spend our hard-earned dollars for things of pleasure and then being stingy with kingdom causes or for the care of the poor. The sin of gluttony. To be lavish, to swallow greedily, to squander God's good gifts, to have it in excess, stuffing ourselves, cramming ourselves, gorging ourselves with superabundance. And now the warning comes from God's word here in verse 20. Get back to Proverbs here a minute. Be not among winebibbers, among rioters, eaters of the flesh. Be not among them. We might expect this sin of the world. Eat, drink, and be merry, for we go around only once, and let's make it the best we can. We might expect it from them. Be not among them. Be separate. It's the whole calling of the antithesis. We do not conduct our lives by seeking to get the abundance of the world's goods to squander on ourselves. Be not among them, young men and young ladies. But I don't need to say young men and young ladies, because sometimes it's the foolish old folks that are sitting there in the bars with the unbelievers or the taverns. How many homes have been hurt because the wage earner had to go to the tavern with his hard-earned money rather than taking it home to care for his family? You and I have been separated out from that wicked world, separated unto our God. And so we are not to join forces with the wicked, with those wine-bibbers and riotous eaters of flesh. Young people don't go to those beer parties that they might have around here. First of all, you're underage. And second of all, it's not going to do you any good to be there, but it dulls your awareness of how you should be behaving yourself, whether you're alone or whether you're there with a date. What sins have been done by foolish children drinking in excess, dulling clear thinking. While the world thrives on this, we read in Proverbs 23, verse 2, put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? But Jesus uses the same kind of words about the eye that might be looking at another woman. Cut it out. Don't give in to the appetites of your flesh. But you are given a heart that is led by the Lord God, by His Spirit and by His Word, to say, no, no, I will not do that. According to the text, what is the fruit of this besetting sin of gluttony? We read in verse 21, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. How many homes have been hurt because the wage earner, instead of coming home with his wages to take care of his family, has spent them drinking? How many young people perhaps have even gone to stealing things because they've got a drug problem and they need the next fix? There is poverty. Marriages and families in trouble because they don't have a budget that they keep themselves to. Because they don't remember what is a priority in their lives, and they want the extra things. Charge it on a credit card and enjoy it now and pay later. And oops, there's nothing left. There's drowsiness, it says, which leads to rags. Again, a picture of drowsiness. What a picture. Unable to do what you're doing, lethargic. How many of you can imagine a person who is stuffing their face with food at one of these all-you-can-eat places and they try to run a race? Now, I want you to take that worldly picture to the spiritual world. If you fill your life all the time with more and more pleasures of the world, what the world has to give, how in the world can you fight the good fight and run the race that is set before you? You are hanging down. You are fat with the pleasures of this world. There's not only temporal poverty, but also spiritual poverty. What are you going to say to the Lord for all that He has entrusted to you? You see, that is the foolishness of that rich man in the parable. That was the foolishness of Nebuchadnezzar. This is the crops that my hands have raised. This is the barns that I have made bigger and bigger. I've provided for myself. This is the great Babylon that I have built. Beloved, the very air that you breathe today, the very things that are on your table this past noon and probably tonight for supper, the very jobs that you have in order to secure that living for yourselves and for your wife and your family, those are all God's good gifts given unto you. And He is going to demand of you, what have you done with what I have entrusted to you? Notice that word, entrusted. It belongs to God. And there is an answer that stewards, and that's what you and I are, good stewards, will give an answer to what we've done with what the Lord has given to us. What is the contrast to this life of being a wine drinker and riotous living? We read of that in verse 17 and follow. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. We look at the world with their parties. We hear all the advertisements of that beautiful, good kind of whiskey or bourbon. We look at the sleek cars that are for sale, the houses that are being built. Envy them not. Envy them not. But be thou in the fear of the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord, said Job. We are God's people. Instead of living for these things, we live for God. And we use these good gifts that He gives to us in His service, providing for our families, providing for our Christian schools, providing for the church, providing for the poor. What an ugly picture that was in the Corinthian church, wasn't it? Celebrating the feast, that is the Lord's Supper, while some were cramming themselves with good food and plenty of drink, and others had nothing. What a different picture that was from the early church when they had all things in common. So that's the sin, and that's the warning. Be not among wine bibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, those who use the things of God with excess, stuffing themselves with it. What is our hope? What is our deliverance from that temptation, from that sin? And beloved, the answer is Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. You say, where do you find that in the text? Well, you find that in the text over and over where the psalmist, where the preacher here in Proverbs is talking about his son giving heed to instruction from his father and his mother. That is the instruction in a good Christian home. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Well, that word wisdom in the book of Proverbs stands for Christ Jesus in the first 8 chapters of that book. We are not left to ourselves. It's not a matter of, oh, be strong in yourself and then you're okay. And I want to say, second of all, the answer to this temptation of gluttony is not by legalism. There are those churches that say, thou shalt not drink, thou shalt not smoke, thou shalt not eat meat, no pork. Only fish during Lent. In other words, in those churches, the people are really saying, okay, make it easy for me. Tell me exactly what I may do and what I mayn't do. That's legalism. That's not the answer. It's a heart issue. Verse 26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my way. Giving our heart. Wow, that sounds like we're doing something there. But of course, that is God's Spirit working within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. We give Him His heart. We give Him, our God, our heart in thankfulness, in service. For He has given to us not only all the good things that we have, but He has given us His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not live the ascetic life of John the Baptist. And so what happened? When Jesus came, then the Pharisees would say to Him, and we read of that in Matthew's Gospel, I believe it's chapter 11. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. The answer is not legalism. Know this, know that, know thine. But Christ Jesus' example before us and Christ Jesus' blood on the cross. Christ Jesus changes our lives so that we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Him who suffered and died for us. We go in 1 Timothy, and I'm thinking it's chapter 4 about God's good gifts. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice what he calls it, doctrines of devils. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. We talked about that this morning. Commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Not legalism, but a glass of wine. The food that is necessary for doing our work. The things necessary for carrying on our life. Yes, we need a roof over our head. We do need 4 wheels if we have to drive to work somewhere or to church. But not demanding excess. Newer, bigger, better, content with what God has given. And Christian liberty. What is there is good, and we may use it. But doing it with a good conscience, doing it with regard to the brother. So, for example, with this text, 1 Timothy chapter 4, everything's created by God. May I have a smoke? Everything's created by God. It is good in itself. It can be abused, can't it? I could think of a pastor who was pastoring a group of people that were coming out of the Baptist background. And on Sunday, he would have his white shirt, no coat on, and his pack of cigarettes in his front pocket. And he says, I'm going to teach him Christian liberty. Foolish man. Have a conscience. Don't hurt your brother. But you may have these things. I followed a minister in my first church who many days of the week would be sitting on his front porch having a beer with young men, with teenagers of the church, with other people. Have a beer, but you don't have to show it to everyone else. There are going to be those who are offended. We may surely enjoy the good things of God's creation, but do it with wisdom, with understanding. That is, having your heart trained by God's word and led by God's spirit. And when we give our heart then to the Lord in our living service, there's going to be a fruit in our lives. And the fruit is the word called self-control. We read in Proverbs 23, verse 19, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Self-control. One or two drinks, fine. But drunkenness is a sin, an excess. Eating food is good, but stuffing yourself is foolish. Taking your hard dollars to buy the last gadget that the world has to offer and not giving to the church is wrong. Self-control. You don't say, what do I want? This is mine, this is mine, this is mine, I want more. But rather you say, Lord, I'm thy servant, and I want to serve thee. And so I come back to with exactly what I began with in the sermon. What is your God? Is your God your belly? Is your God the pleasures of this world? Or is your God the one who sent his own son into this world to redeem miserable sinners like you and me? Say no to self and the desires of the flesh, saying yes to Christ's glory and his service. Say yes to the church, serving others, using those things that God has given you in Christ's service. Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Romans 14, verse 6 and 7. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself. For whether we live to the Lord, we are the Lord's. Romans 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14, verse 18, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of him. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Yes, running the race that is set before us. Are we going to be wobbling because we're so fat with the pleasures of this world, of the pleasures of the flesh? Are we lean in the Lord? Are we strengthened with his word so that over against this sin we run the race that is before you? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Father in heaven, how thy word humbles us. How thy word warns us about our own sinful flesh. Instead of giving heed to that sinful flesh and its desires, which are always evil of themselves, O Lord, give us a heart with understanding, a heart in love with God and his Christ, a heart that guides our steps so that we use wisely the things that thou dost give to us in thy good creation and are accountable stewards. Hear us. Keep us from the sin of gluttony, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.